Now tonight, man, I've been waiting for this for a long time. Tonight begins the honeymoon. Isn't that wonderful? I see a couple just back. Don't ever let it in, honey. Don't ever let it in. Praise God. See, he's got one that's never going to end. And I want to be part of that, and I believe you do too, or you wouldn't be here to hear this. You'd just think, oh, this is nutty stuff. But we left off in that glorious sixth chapter. And in that sixth chapter, as we ended there, the chariot came. The first trump blasted, the moment of the twinkling of an eye, and she was whisked away in the arms of her beloved, and the wedding dance that'll never end began. And those daughters of Jerusalem, they saw that. They saw that. And all they could say was, oh, return, return, return. The Shulamite. But she's not coming back. She's gone. She has been captured away. And here in chapter 7 begins that time of the honeymoon. She has been taken up to him. And as we begin in this, it's right into the inner chamber. It's right where our faith is made sight. She now is in the bridal suite with him. That's how this seventh chapter is. And isn't it so fitting? Perfection. Thank you, Jesus. And what a perfect couple they are. And face to face. So her faith is made sight. She is like him, for she now sees him as he is. And the bridegroom begins, once again, by describing her, telling her how beautiful she is to him. What a lover, isn't it wonderful? And I do, I have to tell you, brothers, and it's not just flattery, but with our own wives, let them know how beautiful they are to you and how the Lord does that to us as we really begin to know the Word of God. And see, it's not that we're confident in ourselves, we're confident in His grace. And when we're confident in grace, praise God, you don't just feel good about yourself. You're thankful to the Lord. You praise Him. You're so thankful for who you are in Christ and how beautiful you are to Him. And you talk about then how we respond to Him. Amen? You actually want to come to Bible studies and say, I want to know more about Him. And then it doesn't just end there. You search out those matters. And that's why it's just encouraging. We're going to go so fast, and we have gone. This is fire hydrant time. It just is. But the Lord's learning curve is like this. He takes us on, doesn't He? Amen. But listen to this. Sometimes it takes not just one, two, three. Go back and listen. Take your Bible out and search out these things. Let it just soak in, saturate in it, that it becomes your own. Praise God. And this is how he is, but this is how he begins. He's not talking about, well, look at how beautiful I made everything for you, and look at how beautiful I am, or look at what I've done for you. It's right back to her. Honey, how beautiful you are. See, he did this all for her. He died on that cross, that wounded side. He ascended. And what did he ascend? Oh, I must ascend. Because I got to send the comforter to you. I got to send that comforter. You think about that. Why did he have to send the comforter? Because he wanted you to know all truth. All truth. Nobody had known all truth. Did you know that? Even those ones in the Old Testament times, all of those things. They never knew all truth. But here we are in this age, in this day, that he sent us the comforter so we could be led and guided into all truth, that we could know the love of Christ. Every dimension of it. Not just to know that he loves me as a Savior, but to know the height, the breadth, the width, the depth, the length. Every bit of that love. That's why he did that. This is why he's so enamored with her. Because she's the one that took it. She's the one that believed it. She took all that grace. She said, oh Lord, thank you for enlightening the eyes of my understanding. Thank you for giving me the Holy Ghost that I see this. And he will gaze upon her as she gazes upon him for the eternities to come. Isn't that wonderful? Now she'll be looking at other things too, because you know what? She's got eyes everywhere. But they're all on him, because he's all in all, and that's everything that he is. So we're so thankful how beautiful this is. But see, He won't ever get over her beauty, brothers and sisters. And the many things that we have already heard him say and describe about her are only going to get more glorious as we go into this part. There's going to be slight little differences because he's described her three times already. Just, I can't get over you, honey. I've just been looking at you from the lattice all the time. I've been hiding over here just gazing upon you. But now I've got you. Now I'm going to really tell you what you are to me. How beautiful my glory, you are to me. And so what follows here in these first five verses that God willing we'll get into tonight is a tenfold intimate description. Tenfold. There's ten things in here spoken by the bridegroom about his love. They are now wed, and there's not going to be any holding back. He unleashes his heart's full description of her, how pleasing her countenance, everything about her is to him. And that number 10 is so important here because 10 is the number of responsibility according to ability. Responsibility according to ability. What that is getting at here, brothers and sisters, is she took it all. She has grown up into him in the full measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. She has fully grown up into an all-pleasing workmanship of the Godhead. She took only of him, just as Esther only took the things of the keeper of the women. She was only found in his righteousness. She is a work of grace alone, and that's, praise God, not according to what man thinks it should be, or how it should be, or how it should look, but how God looks upon a heart. Amen. You know how God looks upon a heart? He looks at all the infirmities. He looks at all the down settings. He loves all of those thorns. He loves that her confidence is only in him. And then, in her broken heart and her contrite spirit, that complete humility comes forth. And oh my, what you get is a goodly pearl. Hallelujah. Because praise be to God, it's all about grace. It's all about grace. And that's exactly what this is. And one other precious thing here before we begin. It's wonderful to note this. Every other time he describes her, he speaks and describes her from the top down. It's always about her hair, then her eyes, then her teeth, then it kind of comes down. Every time. This time, though, he begins at the feet. He starts from the bottom to the top. Now, many thoughts come to mind, but I think one that's so true. See, for us to even begin, ever even to begin to go after the things of God, to ever even have eyes enlightened, to ever even have teeth that would chew upon the deep things of God, he's got to give me his mind. I have to have that mind. I have to understand the plan, the purpose, the power, the provision. I have to have that understanding. Without that understanding, I'm never going to have a vision. And then without that vision and understanding, I'm never going to come to a Bible study to feed. And without the feeding, I'll tell you what, I'll never have a neck. Praise God that I'll have victories laid over it. And my goodness, I'll never develop the breasts to be fruitful. Amen. That's here on this earth. That's how it begins. But in heaven, he begins to speak of her feet. And why? Because it's done. Because it's finished. And so now he is praising the finished work. And the first thing that he sees is her feet, her standing. She's a pillar now. Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to God. So let's go ahead and read the first five verses of chapter 7. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set upon with lilies. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon, by the gate of Bethrabim. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looks down toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to begin right here at her feet. This is how he sees her. He sees this standing, for she is now a pillar. And why not? The word of God tells us that those Philadelphia saints, in Revelation 3:12, he says, I'm going to make you a pillar in the house of the Lord. And I was thinking about that as well, too. How many, now come on, as much as we love our wives, do they walk in and say, wow, those are just the best looking feet, honey. Now, I did have to say that the other day because we did get a pedicure. But it's them feet. It's those beautiful feet. And a lot of times you think about feet, a lot of even very pretty people and all that, they don't really have pretty feet. A lot of times people that are very healthy don't have good feet because pretty feet because they work out a lot. Get corns, bunions, bangs, and all these, don't have toenails sometimes. They work out too hard. But yet, he's looking at them feet. They're so beautiful. The feet obviously speak of the gospel. All of that truth. Isn't that wonderful? See, she's just immersed herself, praise God, in that truth. She's allowed that truth to be her everything. And then, again, the covering of the feet. They're not just naked feet. See, they're feet that are covered. And again, that speaks of that covering of the gospel of Christ. And the feet that are covered, this speaks of a spiritual one. And see, this is a vessel. And this is the theme, again, over and over and over as we go through these next five verses. The word vessel means adding to the usefulness of the husband. She is the vessel. She is the vessel set aside and only for the master's use. We know that. Thanks be to God that we have that encouragement that this is this bridal one. But see, these feet, they speak of her as a spiritual one. She is one that wants to restore. There's so much going on right now, and Christians that know so better, that want to be so condemning and so judgmental and so harsh. God help you. If you ever think about being in the bride of Christ, you better be a honey bear. And that's the truth. Golden apples, not stones to throw. Oh, Jesus, help us. But this is what's so precious about her. This is why he is so captivated with her. She is one that restores the broken. She is a joint that helps the castaway. She is like him. She's a vessel full of love to the husband. And no doubt here, as it goes on to say, O prince's daughter. And that word princes, it means Nadib. And in the Hebrew, that's the same word that we read last week in the second to the 12th verse. Remember the word Aminadab means princely people. She is a princely. Royalty is written all over her. The ones that will be caught up in the air are the reigning ones now. She will jointly rule and reign with him, and she is in her place with him now. And that's what's so wonderful. Again, that's the mind that we've been reading about all the time. And as her hair, remember, we've been hearing all about the pomegranates. And her mind is on that crown. She's got the crown. You have the crown doctrine. Did you know that? You've got Paul's gospel. You've got it. But is it your first love? Is it your treasure? Is it your everything? God help us that it would be. Because this is what the Lord wants. This is what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to love that great love wherewith we are loved. The love that I want you to be my bride. That I want you to rule and to reign with me, honey. I want you to be glorified together with me. I'm not complete without you. God gives us these examples in our own lives as, praise God, husbands and wives. I mean, that's how it should be. But again, that's only in type. To what it will be, I'll need a body like unto his own glorious body. Praise God. Now, how wonderful, brothers and sisters, that this beautiful one to him goes on to say, the joints of thy thighs are like jewels. This literally speaks, brothers and sisters, honestly, literally, he's speaking here of the curves of her leg, the shape of her abdomen. Her symmetry to him is stunning. She is beautiful. She's beyond. You know, you have to think about this. You know, when God made Eve, she's stunning. perfect, unbelievable, how much more so is the bride to him? Praise God. How wonderful. He's shown us this time and time again. But see, once again, see, there's no spot nor wrinkle in the glorious church. There isn't. There's no spot nor wrinkle. Absolute grace perfection. Isn't that wonderful? She is stunning from all angles, and she's completely open to him. She's completely beautiful to him. The thigh here speaks even of the loins, the symmetry of the fruit that's been produced in her life. Truth is girt about her life. The word of his grace has built her up, giving her an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. This fruit speaks of golden. This fruit speaks of jewels. The faith that's tried in the fire. And praise be to God. I pray that we see what a precious time of intimacy this is. But again, as we've read so many times and have been encouraged so much throughout the years, brothers and sisters, if we're going to reign over there, we need to take that place of reigning here. And the way we take that is by faith. We don't walk around and say, well, I'm the bride of Christ. No, knucklehead. The Bible says not that we've attained and we haven't apprehended, but we press on. Hallelujah. We press. We pursue that mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But so thankful to God that the Bible even tells us, the wife hath made herself ready. See, by God's grace, again, that mind, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We're talking about the mind that had the very plan, the very pinnacle of the plan of God in mind, even upon that cross. That pierced side, that wounded side that represented that rib portion, that portion of believers that would suffer together with him, that would also reign together with him. Amen. Always had that. His mind of, again, the ascension. I'm not just ascending to go to the right hand of the Father, even though that's going to be wonderful. I'm ascending to send you the Holy Ghost. I'm ascending to send you the Holy Ghost that, praise God, my love would be shed abroad in your heart. I'm ascending to send you the Holy Ghost that you could be led into all truth. Amen? I'm sending you the Holy Ghost who's with you and shall be in you. Hallelujah. That's why it was so imperative. That's why it was so important as they went out through Acts. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Oh, we've not even heard of the Holy Ghost since we believed. Huh? You need the infilling of the Holy Ghost to see the depths of the bride of Christ. And I thank God in this. And this is something not to be shy of, but to encourage one another in. Not to be forceful, but in love. We need these things. Now it goes on here to say in verse 1, the works of the hands of a cunning workman. So after he starts describing her, he's still praising his grace. He's still magnifying, hallelujah, which she wants to praise as well too. Well, honey, it's just all you. You did it all. Oh, yes, praise God. It's the work, hallelujah, of the master workman, because, honey, you are my workmanship. Those golden hands, hallelujah, remember the golden hands we talked about? Those golden hands have been all over you. This is the power again of the Holy Ghost, taking the things of Christ and making them yours. See, as we yield to the Lord, as the Holy Ghost continues to be full and overflowing in our lives, brothers and sisters, those golden hands, they continue to mold us and make us after his will. Amen? That's what the Holy Ghost does. It really does. It causes us to be. There was a brother seeking to be filled and just having a little hard time saying, oh, you know, I'm not surrendered enough, you know. Well, you get the Holy Ghost, you'll be surrendered. Oh, I'm not humble enough. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. You'll get humble after you get the Holy Ghost. See, you don't get something, then come to God. You don't do that because you've got nothing. Let's just get the vernacular real right and get at it. You ain't got nothing. Just go. It didn't say take something to the throne of grace. You've got need. You've got all the need you got. Now get in there and get it. And he'll supply every need, because he gave you all those needs. And the one need we really need to have is the need of the gospel growing, maturing, and growing up into us in all things. Amen. And this is what this is all about. And we thank God how powerful this is. But his golden hands all over her, the Holy Ghost taking the things of Christ, making them hers. She is perfect, the fullness, the stature of him, a vessel only for the master's use. And you'll read that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. So that is something that we're so grateful to God for, that we know that we are being set aside to him and set aside to him. That's what that sanctification is. Now, verse 2. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wants not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Now, see, this navel, like a round goblet for drinking, this once again speaks of the truth in her life. How she has so fed from him. She's fed of him. She's drunk of him all of this time. But now he is going to feed and drink of her. She's become more than a garden to him. This is the intimacy that he drinks of her like a cup. Again, a vessel only for the master's use. Amen. And it's so sweet. It and in that navel or in that goblet, it doesn't need liquor in there. Oh, no, it doesn't need any of that. Because I'll tell you what, the intimacy that he drinks from her is an endless supply of joy and ecstasy. She is the good pleasure of his will. Did you know that? That's what we're here for. He's God. And hallelujah, we are his pleasure. And boy, we can even be to the good pleasure, full pleasure of his will. That's something, isn't it? Hallelujah. Like I say, just read it for what it is. Why is this written like this? He's after you. He loves you. He's head over heels in love with you. And that sweet couple, not keep pointing them out, but it's so sweet. They couldn't almost wait for their wedding day. You wanted to be together. It was hard to wait. Now he's got her. Now there's no holding back. Honey, I just love you. And I'm never going to stop telling you how much I love you. And then, brothers and sisters, you think about this too. In the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us. I mean, him telling us this right now. How much do you love me, Jesus? What is that word you've grown up in me? What's in there? It's the only thing they're ever going to be. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. But the word endures forever. We've got it. This is what he's given us. This is what he's put in our lives. Praise his name. So we rejoice. But she is full and overflowing, praise God, in this joyfulness, so full of the Holy Ghost, so full of his love. The bridegroom drinks from her, never lacking a thing. And you think of this, Colossians 1:25. See, we know that Colossians 1:25 tells us when we take all the things from the Holy Ghost, when we feast upon Paul's gospel, we complete the word of God. She completes the word of God. Hallelujah. She completes Jesus Christ in that marriage. Hallelujah. I thank God. I appreciated how much my dad loved my mom. I really did. And he loved her so he didn't ever want to even spend a night away from her. He'd go to Florida. He'd be back the same day. He was a nut. Well, John, we'll put you up at the nicest hotel here, Ritz-Carlton. That's great. You give it to somebody else, I'm going home. Wanted to be with his wife. And I thank the Lord. I can see that, you know what? He can even love beyond that. Praise God. Now the belly like a heap of wheat. I tell you, these are some strange things to say about a woman. But as a woman, you better read into what he's saying here, or you're going to miss the whole thing. That's why most people look at this and they just kind of pass on by. But you start getting an inkling about how much he loves you. You want to know what he's saying here. And I appreciate you all. Praise God, what he's put in our hearts. But this speaks of the harvest of her life. And once again, she's overflowing with wheat. And what is wheat? It's the bread of life. It's, once again, it's the Word. And praise God, she's only been feeding on the Word, and the abundance of the Word, and the strong meat of the Word. And what abundance of fruit have come forth from her life. I love it. You plant corn, you get corn. Amen. You plant beans, you get beans. You plant Paul's gospel, and you get a readied wife. Amen. That's all that can grow in that. You continue to feed on Paul's gospel. You don't have to worry about you. He'll do it all. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? The word of his grace. Isn't that wonderful? Preach no other gospel. See, I know the Bible tells me so. So I know if this is planted in this meeting and we stay with the stuff, this is what's going to be produced. Isn't that awesome? And that's something you know. That's something that you can count on. Done, finished, count on. Because I will perform the good work which I have begun. Hallelujah. What confidence we can have again in the Word of God. And what a fruitfulness she is to him. But see, that's not all. There's a double portion again at every turn here. A heap of wheat fenced with or surrounded by lilies. Well, what do the lilies speak of again? Glorified whiteness. What is that? The bridal gown. The righteousness of saints. She's got it all. Praise God. She's in that chamber. He's seen her, hallelujah, in her fullness. She is stunning beyond from her shining feet to her belly so fruitful, radiant white, not just the church, but a glorious church, for again, she is without spot or wrinkle. Verse 3, thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. So we're back again to speak of the breasts, and the breasts speak of the full maturity and the full fruitfulness. And we will come to the little sister next chapter. And the little sister has no breasts. And we get that picture that this little sister would love to be married. But she's nowhere ready. She's not mature. She has not grown up like this Shulamite has. But these, again, breasts speak of the fruitfulness in her, of her life. Once again, the vessel that adds to the usefulness of the husband. She is able to nurture. She is able to feed other. And you notice again, the two young roes are twins. That double portion again, the vigorous, the fruitfulness, the fervent love, the fullness of this one. And that young roe, never forget that. And I'm so grateful to God how that continues to come up and up and up. Don't ever grow old in your love. You grow mature in it, but you still have the passion by God's grace. Don't ever lose the passion. Don't. But see, that's the joy of the Holy Ghost. That's why people, believe it or not, and unfortunately I see it, and I've seen it for years, that know the depths of the gospel of Christ, that know Paul's gospel, but they grow cold. Don't forsake that spirit. Don't quench that spirit. Encourage one another in that spirit. Don't be ashamed of that spirit. And as Paul said, I'm glad I speak more than ye all. Listen to the word of God. And I don't care what people think or say or, well, you know, churches that do that and all that, they're just a bunch of nuts and all. You know what? I'll leave that to the Lord and what's going on over there. I just know what's going on in here. And by the word of his grace, he says spirit and truth. Amen. And he says truth and love. And God help us to continue on in that joy, because it's going to be that young roe heart like his that's going to win him. But so wonderful about this as well too. But now I want to talk about the little nuances that are a little bit different than we've read these before. Because we've read of these breasts a few times before as he's described her. But now these two young roe twins are not seen. What was I saying here? They're not seen feeding among the lilies as each time the breasts were mentioned, they would mention those lilies. Well, brothers and sisters, why she's not seen with those lilies anymore is because she's gone from them. in a sense of what that feeding was with the others. See, the pomegranate has been taken from the garden of nuts. Remember we read that last week? I love that. In the garden of nuts, he went down there and he got the pomegranates and they're gone. See, there's no more feeding. That time is over. And then verse 4, thy neck is as a tower of ivory, thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon, by the gate of Bath Rabim. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. See, the neck again speaks of strength, support, vision, and you need that strong neck. And you think of the royalty, the elegance of the crown that is set upon that head, upon that neck. The virtuous woman, she looks to the ways of her household. That neck speaks that she can look out, that she can look over, that she can see, praise God. But you'll notice this neck, as it was, again, a difference here. It spoke about the neck as a tower of David, or David's tower. And remember when we talked about David's tower, that was a special tower in the wall that was built up that they could look out for the enemies. And it was a battling tower. It was a place of fighting and warring and things of that nature, and where the victories would be won. But brothers and sisters, that tower of David is needed no longer. There's no more fighting the good fight of faith, because that faith has been made whole. It is finished. The ivory here speaks of the whiteness, like a rock, solid, like him in grandeur and majesty. Won't that be wonderful? The time that we see him face to face, and faith shall be made sight. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful union it will be. Then it goes on to say, of the eyes like fish pools in Heshbon. Now, Heshbon means a stronghold or a fortress. And, you know, you think about the Word of God, and any time it speaks of a fortress, well, a mighty fortress is our God. And the stronghold, he's our stronghold. He's our shield. He's our buckler. But brothers and sisters, she's like him. She's a fortress. Hallelujah. She's a stronghold. Again, she is his glory. And these pools that it speaks of are most splendid. They were the reservoirs of water in Heshbon. They could be seen from many, many miles away. They were these big, huge pools. They were clear and blue. They were teeming with life. That's why they were called the fish pools. And this is exactly who she is. This is exactly what is seen in her eyes, the vision. She's wide-eyed. She's clear to the light. She's alive. She's abundant. She's fruitful. This is what dove's eyes have become in glory. They become these fish pools. And each time that we had read about the eyes, they were behind the locks, speaking of the hair. You don't find her eyes behind the locks anymore here. Her eyes are fully there. And why? Because the veil has been taken away. She's his. Just like, praise God, when they walked down here, she was veiled. But once the marriage had happened and coming into wed, they pull the veil over. And there's many weddings that you'll see that they won't even take the veil over until the last moment where he kisses his wife. Praise God. But this is why there's no more of those eyes that are behind the locks. There's no more in between. It's face to face with him. Hallelujah. How wonderful this is. God encourages us again what this will be. But those eyes also, there's some more sweet meaning here. These eyes are free from weeping. That's exactly what this means. And this is something that's very important here, brothers and sisters. See, the bride's eyes, the wife of the bride of the wife of the Lamb, she is not going to have eyes that are crying. Her eyes are joyous. Her eyes, praise God, teem with life. Her eyes are always seen, praise the Lord, and especially at this time, they're seen with this abundant, alive light in them. But I'll take you to another group. The first thing that is seen in their eyes, and their name is the innumerable multitude, are tears. There's a sadness. There's a sorrow. There was something missed. The joy of the bridal eye. There was nothing missed. There is nothing but absolute ecstasy. The thankfulness of grace that, Lord, hallelujah, I've won you. I've won. Pressing toward the mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. She's won. That's the difference here. That's why there are no tears in her eyes. Now, let me tell you something. There are many tears in the eyes of bridal saints right now. And there are. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of weeping that we go through. But I'll tell you what, it's completely gone in that flight. And then finally, as it says there, by the gate of Bath Rabim, how beautiful again. That means a daughter of a multitude. She came out of them all. She was taken away. Out of that multitude, out of that body, came that little rib portion. And she was snatched away with him. Brothers and sisters, the perfection of the Word of God to us. See, we know this truth. I thank the Lord. We've been here and rejoiced in this bridal message for how many years? Many, many. Many have come along, but praise God, He just gets you right to the front row right away. That's how God does it. It's not a respecter of persons. He wants you to have it all. But how sweet it is as we say, you know what, Lord? I understand this reigning stuff. And as the Word of God says, it's of kings to search out a matter. And you know what? Praise the Lord. When I look into this, I look into this as a readied wife, as a queen. Praise God. Well, you know what He does? He says, well, Holy Ghost, I'll tell you what. Go show them some more light upon light. It's the same truth. But how many layers are in this? You know, brothers and sisters, we're still in fleshly form. Do you know we still get discouraged? Can you imagine that? There's some over even in those pews over there that get a lot right down. I know it. I just, you know, I can't help it. Just teasing you. But you understand what I'm saying. We are. We need to be encouraged. How much more could we ever be encouraged than the Lord showing us, substantiating it to us more and more about the truth we know? Amen? It is. It's like getting another love letter. That's what it is. You ever been in love and maybe the letters didn't come for a while and you're thinking, oh my goodness, you doubt or whatever it would be? Well, He's got an endless supply. And the Holy Ghost is there reading them to you moment by moment. If he that hath an ear, let him hear. Just hear. Let this mind be in you. Let that ear hear. Amen. But if we all say that, well, I already know this stuff. I've already heard this. You're not hearing any longer. And it will grow old. And you will grow cold. It's the truth. Alive. Quickened. Now. Moment by moment. There's a pitter-patter in the young roe heart. It's what it is. You got to reflect back if you have to. I don't know. When you first fell in love, whatever it might be. But that quickening pace, this is what He's trying to stir our hearts. Honeys, this is how I am with my wife. This is how I am with you. But my Father's going to be the determiner here. Isn't that something? The Lord, He does. Oh, her and her and her and her. But the Father says, oh no, son. I'm seeking, I'm searching out for that one. My Spirit's doing it. That one that worships you, the true worshipers, that worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen? Praise God. So again, this is why we need to receive and hear and be encouraged in this all the time. And what an encouragement it is as we come in and my goodness, how many times I have been through the Song of Solomon. Well, honey, I've got another little thing for you to show you. It's not any more truth. It's not any more truth about the bride is going to be taken away. Absolutely not. But it's here. And then it's there. And then it's here and here and here and here. And then it's the lines between the lines. And then it's never ending. Praise God. But that's the love letters that come And we need love letters. And we have the love letters. But we have to be there to hear the love letters. Amen? Because that's what happens, is when we don't get them, we start to get a little bit discouraged. When we don't hear them, we can get complacent. When we don't hear them and read them, we can be led away. Just like the daughters of Jerusalem, what were they trying to do all the time, first of all, with the Shulamite? Oh, come on, there's other loves. You don't need to love them that much. But then she stayed with it. And then her testimony of her great love started to get them to inquire, well, what is it about this guy? And then they started to see, my goodness, for what you saw in him, you've become like him. That's what's amazing. Praise be to God. Now, let's go on. Thy nose like a tower of Lebanon, looking towards Damascus. I don't know how many women have ever had a man tell them that their nose was like a tower. But this is in a good way. If there could be a good way, this is the one. But this nose, it speaks of discernment. And thanks be to God. It can smell. It can smell those ointments. It can smell the sweet-smelling sacrifice to God. Can't you smell that with him when the Lord is working in your life? Can't you smell that coming out to him? Aren't you thankful? Praise God. Well, she can discern stuff like that. Yep, she discerns spirit, sure. But, you know, it's not her. How do we discern spirits? The word of God, isn't it? It's the sword. Hallelujah. See, it's still him. It's all him. And again, it's not by feeling. It's by faith in the word of God. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 2:15. But it's important here to see that her nose, like Lebanon, it means glorious whiteness, purity, speaks of a chaste virgin to him. Again, the grace at every turn. That's what's so wondrous about her, is she discerns by grace. By grace. It's love. And thanking the Lord for this, brothers and sisters, that, you know, we understand grace for forgiveness. He continues to encourage my life in this so much. Praise God for that. We need to always embrace that grace for forgiveness. Always, always, always. And grace that gives us thorns. Grace that, again, gives us the downsetting. Grace that brings the infirmities to our life. Whether we were born with them, you know. Not even in a sense of our own natural bodies. It could be our families. We could have infirmities in our families. We can have infirmities in a lot of different things. But God specifically did that. It was the only way he was going to bring you to this place for you to hear Paul's gospel. It's the truth. It was a perfect line of grace that brought you to this place, even tonight, to rejoice in this precious bridal proposal to you. But in that, we also understand, brothers and sisters, the power of grace. It doesn't just end at forgiveness. It's a strength. It's a power that can even keep us in an infirmity, that can keep us with a thorn, that can keep us in a downsetting. And I thank God that I'm finding out that when our minds are so stayed upon grace, this nose, praise the Lord, of this purity, it's not, again, the purity that man would think. The only purity is the grace of God. That's what it is. But when it's in that, when our minds and thoughts are captivated on the word of his grace, we don't have time for anything else. We don't even think about the thorn anymore. We don't think about the infirmity anymore. We don't think about the downsetting anymore. Praise be to God. Don't even know if I have it or I don't. It's still probably there, but my mind's not on it. It's on him. That's the power of grace. Praise God. And that's why he says, don't be moved. Don't be moved. And I know all of us know that. I know all of us know those precious moments. And I pray to God they're more than just a moment. Of when we're just set like a flint rock upon that grace, our faces. And it's so perfect, isn't it? You talk about peace like a river. You talk about a peace that passes all understanding. You're not dwelling upon that stuff. And that's fighting the good fight of faith that, Lord, let me just dwell upon the power of grace. Praise God. I don't worry about, Lord, get that thorn out of me. That's a distraction. It is. When our minds are on the thorn, we're distracted. I understand the thorn. I respect the thorn. But I respect the thorn in this. It's that I would not be exalted. Praise God. Then comes the praise. And the worship. And the grace that floods my mind. That I don't even know if I have the thorn anymore or not. But see, people like to run around and talk about, oh, that was the thorn that was removed from my life. And praise God, if there was one, that's wonderful. But now, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on. Amen? I'll let him deal with the thorns. I'll let him deal with the infirmities. I'll glory in them. But it's because it's him. Praise God. All right. So, and you'll notice this nose, it looks. Isn't that funny? Have you ever seen a nose that looks? Well, here's one that does. That's what's so amazing about the body parts of God. The nose is a tower of Lebanon which looks towards Damascus. Yes, this is a nose that has faith sight. And thanks be to God. How aware, again, we can be. Even in our unbelief, he abides faithful. That's being that aware. Isn't that wonderful? Even if I be otherwise minded, he'll make that known unto me. See, that's being aware. And what is it aware of? Well, that sounds like you didn't know something, brother. But I know he knows. So I'm aware of that. And that's all I need to be aware of. And again, we're right back to grace. And see, this is that discernment. This is the bride, praise God, that truly understands and looks to him in all of this. She's discerning. She has that faith sight. And then it's toward Damascus. Isn't that wonderful? Now, this Damascus is so wonderful because it means built on the rock of blood. So look where she's looking with her nose. Look where her nose is set. It looks toward Damascus, toward the rock built on blood. Praise God. Is exactly who she is. She's the cherubim. She is the one whose gaze has never strayed from the blood on the mercy seat. And once again, I rejoice with you, brothers and sisters, how perfect. It just is. Over and over and over. Don't look anywhere else. Just look on the blood of the mercy seat. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. This is where he has us to look. And then finally in verse 5, thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. So now we get to the head. Carmel means chiefest. Carmel means the pinnacle. It means the choicest. It means fruitful. It means fertile. There's no vain thoughts, no emptiness at all. It's always on the gospel of Christ, her head. And how wonderful that she is like him. The hair, again, speaks of the glory. The hair speaks of the covering. But you'll notice every time, do you remember when we ever read about the hair? It was like a flock of goats. Remember we talked about them goats all the time? Those beautiful goats that had the hinds feet that went into the high places. Well, why is there no longer hair like goats? There's no need anymore for those hinds feet. There's no more need for fighting the good fight of faith. That's finished. That's done. Its time shall be no more for that. She's gone. She's on the other side. And now her hair is only purple. Still her covering, she's still always in submission, but she's pure royalty. Her covering is now the crown, for she is his queen in jointly reigning. And then finally, what is so precious here, it says, and the king held in the galleries. This means, this is so wonderful, the king is imprisoned. He is. And he's imprisoned in the galleries, speak of the locks of her hair. He's just imprisoned again by her glory, by her beauty, by what she took of him, that she was his everything. And he is forever imprisoned to her. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful how Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ? Do you see what the privilege to be a prisoner of the love of God right now is? You've got him. You don't really realize how much you got him. But when he was telling you last chapter, oh, you got to look away from me. You got to look away. I just can't stand it. But now that I am looking at you face to face and we're never going to look anywhere else, I just have to tell you, I'm your prisoner of love. In those locks, praise God, all that grace that was taken because she adored the crown. Do you see that? In the locks, again, speaking of now that purple hair. See, he loves you to take the bridal message. There's nothing more he wants. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't back down from it. Don't get complacent. Don't ignore it. Treasure it. That's why he says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's why Brother Paul says at the end, as he said, I've finished it. I've fought. I've won. Hallelujah. And I've got the crown. I've got the exalted rank of righteousness crown. And what did he say to encourage us? He said, but not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That love his appearing. This is how he's going to appear to her. This is how he appears to her first. That we see it even right here in the seventh chapter. It's an intimate appearing, isn't it? And he's mesmerized with her reigning. He's a prisoner of her love in the glory that she's taken of him. All by grace. Isn't that wonderful? So you're just here to believe it. That's all we are. It's by faith. Amen? Remember how we're circled about and we're compassed about with such a cloud of witness? Been thinking about that again so much. And it's not so much the people. It's not, you know, yeah, I got Moses over there and Jacob and all these one. No, it's the faith. It's this. This is my compass. This is it. And everything that, every dart, every arrow fiery that tries to, oh, I look over there, but I'm compassed about with. Well, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And look, I'm compassed with, he'll perfect that which concerneth me. And I'm encompassed, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And I'm compassed with, oh, no, no, I'm his workmanship. And I'm compassed with, he's going to perform the good work which he's begun. I'm compassed and you're compassed with all of this. Praise God. And all he said, just believe it. That's what pleases me. I'll work it in you. I commend you, brothers and sisters. This is not just the right track. This is the race course. And this is how we run well. This is how we run to win. We hear it. We go home. We feed on it. We chew on it. Praise God. Look into it. But trust him all the time. This is what he wants. Faith comes by hearing, not by doing. By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You're hearing that. It will transform you from glory to glory into his image. Rest in it. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.